It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for. Sandy Rios with you. It is primary day in the states of Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, and Arkansas. All right, did you figure out who you need to vote for? Have you figured out who the great candidates are in your races, or the best candidate might be the best? Not necessarily your pick, but it might be the very best person. You need to vote today. Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, and Arkansas. And actually, while we're waiting, we're not waiting, but we're going to be waiting. I would love to hear from you. Not just anyone, so hang on. If you're from the state of Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, and Arkansas, and you have a race you want to highlight, a candidate that you want to highlight, something that's happening in your area that you think we should know, I hope the primary goes well today. I don't want a general comment. I want something specific. If you have something specific to share about what's happening to help other listeners make intelligent choices, or something that we need to know about what's going on today, give us a call. It's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Again, that's in Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, and Arkansas. Okay, so today's your day. Today's your day for the primary. And don't forget, too, you can go to afaaction.net, afaaction.net. We have a great voter guide. Honestly, I don't know if they have every race that you need. I don't know. But there are other voter guides. If they don't, I know we have a lot of them. So just check it out and make your best decision today. Now, let me just say a couple of things in general. According to a piece that just came out last night, rating changes are happening in 19 House races. Remember that the Democrats need to pick up 23 seats in the House in order to take back control of the House of Representatives. Right now, this is called Inside Elections. This is the entity that does this kind of assessment. Has 68 Republican seats rated as vulnerable compared to just 10 vulnerable Democratic seats? And there are at least a couple dozen more GOP-held seats that could develop into competitive races in the months ahead. So now to give some backdrop on this, they go back to 2010. And at that time, right before the midterms, there were 68 vulnerable Democratic seats in the House and 11 vulnerable Republican seats. Now, the Republicans during that time gained 63 seats. And then they cite May of 2006, right before that election. And they give the stats on that. But I'm not going to go through all of that. But bottom line is, this is not a good stat or a good circumstance for Republicans, at least on its face. And so they go through and then track different House seats that have sort of changed or shifted because a lot of the country is turning bluer. There's no question about that. Virginia's 7th District is one that's highlighted. That's Dave Bratt's seat. Congressman Dave Bratt has moved from likely the seat, the 7th District, has moved from likely Republican to leans Republican. You get the nuance, right? Not a sure thing, as it once was. Arkansas, 2nd District, which is, of course, that's one of the primaries today, has moved from solid Republican to likely Republican. That's a lesser status. Likely is not the same thing as solid. Georgia, also primary today. The 7th District has moved from solid Republican to likely Republican. So, and then Texas, Lamar Smith's seat, that's where Chip Roy is running. That is an open seat that Lamar Smith vacated, and it has moved from solid Republican to likely Republican. So there's a lot more seats, but I just wanted to highlight the ones that were that are in play today on this primary day. Now, we got some people that want to talk to us. If you have something in your district or in your state that you think we need to know about regarding the primaries today in Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, or Arkansas, give us a call at 888-589-8840. Let's go to Tim in Arkansas. Good morning, Tim. Okay, looks like we've got, you may have to pull it up, Adam, please. Because I don't think I can get to either of them under the certain under the current circumstances. I'm going to keep talking. Okay, they're going to fix that. No, this is really interesting. In Texas, there was an article this morning from, I believe, from Politico talking about how the strategy around the country for Democrats is a little confusing for them because they have lots of candidates running in various races. In other words, they're split just like the Republicans. And there's a split on strategy because some Democrats feel like they need to run a firebrand leftist, and others think we need someone who's more in the middle. That sounds familiar, doesn't it, for Republicans? And so there are a lot of leftist candidates running in the Democratic primary, and it'll be interesting to see, especially in Texas, since they're trying to turn it blue, how that turns out. Now, let's go back to Tim in Arkansas. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Hey, good, Sandy. Thank you for taking my call. I've got an interesting race in Arkansas. Governor Hutchison, I think, has done a really, really good job. But I think Jan Morgan, who's been an outspoken critic of him, has a lot to bring as far as being a new candidate. She hasn't been in the political arena. Governor Hutchison has for a long, long time. And so I think it's going to be good to have to take a look at somebody fresh and who knows the culture, who knows the Constitution, who knows the Muslim world and the intentions of all that. She's the owner of the gun range in Hot Springs and has been outspoken about the Second Amendment. And I think it would be interesting for people in Arkansas to take a look at her.
Well, that's interesting, Tim. I'm curious about Governor Hutchison. I remember him because he was one of the House managers during the impeachment trial of Bill Clinton. And I actually remember interviewing him. I covered that every day, every nuance, every minute of it. And I really liked him. He was very good on that, every time I talked to him. So has he been not maybe as outspoken a conservative on issues as Jan Morgan? Is that what you're actually saying?
Well, there's actually one red flag that came up when the gay marriage through the Supreme Court took place. He was swayed, and I think it was from his son, but I'm not exactly sure about that. He was swayed not to bring it up for a vote in Arkansas as to make it
the
You're law
right.
of the land in Arkansas.
I had forgotten about that, Tim. I had forgotten about that. You're right. He came down on the wrong side of that issue.
I mean, that's just one red flag. But I mean, he's done a super job. But I don't know. It might be interesting to see somebody fresh.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying that Jan Morgan is the fresh face there, and you feel like she's a strong conservative. All right, Tim. I appreciate that input. That's exactly what we're looking for. Let's see what Steve has to say. He's from Arkansas too. Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more toward the Jan Morgan side on what he said. Now, I met Jan Morgan personally. I talked to her, and she is sharp as a sharpened razor, okay? And she is very, very, very smart. And then on the subject of Asa Hutchison, there's a question. There's a $600 million financial propriety question that does not look good on his issue. I was at the Tea Party. She spoke at the Tea Party, and that subject came up. And then the other guy, Tim, he was very good on what he said because she's sharp on the subject of Islam. She's sharp on the subject of national security. I don't know if you've met her or not, but I'm just in general knowing you, you'd give her an A, okay? Just looking at her. So, and then I heard that Donald Trump is backing Asa Hutchison. And so now that, the Bible says, I do not exercise myself in matters too great. I've never had $1 billion, you know. So when you start talking like that, I can just simply go by what I meet. And I've never met Donald Trump. I pray for him and I like him. I wonder what he's doing, what he's coming. But be that as it may, I hope that Jan Morgan, I back her, and I hope I hope she slays Goliath. Okay.
All right, Steve. Thanks. I appreciate your input. I think this is what I think. When it comes to President Trump, certainly his public policies, almost all of them, I certainly embrace. And I think most, obviously most Americans did because they elected him based on those policies. When it comes to his private endorsements, that's not as sure a thing because I know I know the people that whisper in his ear and they don't always give him good advice. And often they're establishment Republicans. More often than not, they're establishment Republicans. And so that's why he sometimes comes down on the wrong side of endorsements. But he's a mixed bag because he doesn't really, he's new at this political thing. And he has to listen to people around him because he doesn't have sometimes, he's not been doing this like I have for the last 20 years. And so I think we are grateful for his policies, but not so much in tune to his endorsements sometimes. But I don't know anything about Jan Morgan other than what our listeners from Arkansas are telling you. So I'm not endorsing because I can't anyway. So there you go. But I think they've given you some great information. Now let's go down to Texas. Debbie, you're in Texas. What's going on down there?
Yes. Sandy, there is a race taking for Ted Poe's position. He is retiring this year. I think he has leukemia. He was diagnosed with it about a year or so ago.
Wow.
And anyway, he's retiring. And there are two people running for his position. One is a man named Roberts, and the other one is Crenshaw. And there has been a big smear campaign against Crenshaw. And the group that's putting it out is called conservativematters.com, but it is not a conservative group, in my opinion. And they are saying that he's done all these things, but if you're researching, he's a career veteran. He was wounded, and his grandmother was at one of the polling stations, and we talked to her, and I don't know. He just sounds like he's going to try to do the right thing. And
so his name is. So you're saying?
Opinion,
yeah. Let me just interject, Debbie, quickly, if I could, because we're running out of time. That a lot of entities with names that sound really good, like conservativematters.com. Now, I know nothing about this particular one, but I'm just telling you, all over the country, we have these PACs rising up who have these, like, doing the right thing, like love of country, a name like that, which really is actually targeting the true conservative in the race to try to mix people up. Now, I don't know if that's the case here, but it sounds like it might be. And especially they're trying to trash them last minute because good people, go, oh, golly, I didn't know he did that. I can't see. They like to establish the ick factor. It works very well with our kinds of people. And so that's probably very good warning, Debbie. I don't know about that race, but I'm going to take it. If I were voting down there, I would kind of see it the way you do. I would want to do a little more research, but likely, based on what they're doing around the country, Crenshaw is probably a really good guy that they're targeting because they don't want him to be elected. Anything further from you before I have to take a break here?
Yes, Sandy, thank you for what you're doing for America. And I'm going to be praying that God's goodness and mercy will not only follow you all the days of your life, but it will surround and encompass you, and his hedge of protection will be around you and your family.
Thank you, Debbie. That's very, very kind of you. Thank you so much. Well, all right. I appreciate your help. Look, we're not finished because I want to talk to more of you. I think this is very beneficial, don't you? I mean, the primaries are Kentucky. Now, Kentucky, anybody from Kentucky have something to say about this? Georgia, Texas, there are a lot of races in Texas because it's a very big state, so there's probably a lot more to say about it. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'll be right back after this.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges and reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813. If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness.
I'll be the song for you. I'll be the symphony.
The music of Sasha's song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain us through the years?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in the flood. Doubt and pain, for he is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. Maybe a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realize is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
People of faith across the nation are concerned about a California bill that would classify so-called gay conversion therapy as a fraudulent practice. Groups like Focus on the Family and the Southern Baptist Convention say the legislation could silence churches and target Christian bookstores.
It's just time for Christians all across America to just recognize that it's an attack on our faith.
Dr. Paul Chappell is pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church in California's High Desert. He was a guest on my nationally syndicated talk radio show. California's LGBT caucus denies legislation will have any impact on Christians and will not lead to a Bible ban. But many, like Pastor Chappell, are not convinced because there is no religious exemption written into the bill.
That's absolutely, in my opinion, where this is all going. It's going toward the Bible and ultimately towards the pulpits that preach the Bible. And that's why Christians had better wake up right now.
I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Morning.
This speaker keeps getting turned down by members of his own party.
This year will be my last one.
And now the retiring House Speaker Paul Ryan could be squeezed out this summer by his hand-picked successor, Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy. The Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney revealed this weekend, quote, "I've talked with Kevin about this privately, but not as much publicly." McCarthy says a Weekly Standard report called, quote, "a coup in the offing" is completely untrue. Paul has my total support. But news of a shuffle comes the day that 20 Republicans continued working with Democrats to clinch enough signatures to go around Ryan to force a series of votes on immigration, including a DACA fix, and less than a week after the Ryan-backed farm bill failed.
This is the nature of the Republican conference. We've got conservatives and moderates, and whoever's in leadership, they have to curate that balance.
A Ryan spokeswoman tells Fox, quote, "This conference has always had its ups and downs, and the speaker will continue to move us forward as a team."
Paul Ryan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ryan himself has long argued that members should want him around for as long as possible because he makes them so much money.
And it makes no sense to take the biggest fundraiser off the field.
Still, strategists see a potential positive in swapping speakers before the midterms, and the plans have reached the Trump administration because Director Mulvaney said this weekend, quote, "Wouldn't it be great to force a Democrat running in a tight race to have to put up or shut up about voting for Nancy Pelosi 8 weeks before an election? That's a really, really good vote for us to force if we can figure out how to do it." But one Democratic lawmaker who represents a district Trump won doesn't see Pelosi as a liability.
I don't think anybody on the Democratic side of the aisle is interested in a bunch of upheaval at this point.
Just a few minutes ago, Mulvaney's spokeswoman emailed me to say that he was speaking hypothetically this weekend and that he is not working behind the scenes to oust Ryan. And if you look at the numbers right now, there is a reason that nobody is publicly calling for a speaker's election. That is because nobody is believed to have the votes to replace him right now, including McCarthy. There are still multiple factions of Republicans that are going to want something in exchange for their support to help him win a majority of the House.
Thank you for that report. Sandy Rios back with you. So here's the deal. As you know, many of us, and I include myself, really high up in that list, are trying to get Jim Jordan to run for speaker. Because Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio is the lion of the House. He truly is. Mark Meadows also. They're both great. But Jim Jordan is a proven leader. His wrestling coaching background and he's a real academic, plus being a very, very successful wrestling coach. I wish I had the stats in front of me so I could brag on him a little bit. But he's also just a great guy. He's the guy that keeps saying, keep your promises, keep your promises. Will not vote for the omnibus. Will not fund Planned Parenthood. He's a true blue guy, and yet he's highly respected. So, but here's the thing, as Peter just explained, Paul Ryan is the speaker. He plans to remain through the end of his term, which is the end of next January. So Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise are allegedly vying for the position. Steve Scalise says if Kevin McCarthy gets the nomination, or he will not go against Kevin McCarthy. He'll hitch his wagon to Kevin's if Kevin has enough votes. So they're trying to make sure, I can tell you right now, that leadership, because believe me, they're part of Paul Ryan's leadership. I've told you how they both cooperated in punishing conservatives and how when push comes to shove, they don't do what's conservative. They do what's best for the power of leadership. And so that's why Jim Jordan doesn't do that. He's nothing like that. He actually wants to do what the American people want to happen. The policies that President Trump campaigned on, that's what Jim Jordan wants also. That's what we want. Really? Don't we want walls? Don't we want to support our borders? Don't we want life to be preserved and honored and respected? Don't we want all the things that we want, a lower budget? We don't want to be spending trillions of dollars and going trillions more in debt, do we? No. And so Jim Jordan would be the natural leader in the House. The House Freedom Caucus has 40 members. They can prevent Kevin McCarthy or Steve Scalise from being elected. And they plan to. That's what they're doing, or at least at this point. That's what Steve Ducey meant, Peter Ducey, when he said that McCarthy doesn't have enough votes because he has to have the House Freedom Caucus and he doesn't have them right now. So this is an inter-party struggle. It's happening in Capitol Hill and behind the scenes. I know that Kevin McCarthy's been lobbying the president. The president has been, like I said in that last discussion, doesn't always support the best candidate. So he is, tipping his support for Kevin McCarthy. We feel that's a mistake. If Paul Ryan were to pull out, I don't know what would happen because, like I said, I don't think Kevin McCarthy has enough votes, but there's a lot of pressure in the House to vote certain ways because if you don't line up with leadership, then you get cut off from the money spigot. You lose your position on committees. There's punishment. That's what they did under Boehner. That's what they continued under Ryan. Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise both were the hatchet men on those issues. That's what they did. They carried it out. And so many of us are just hoping and praying, honestly, that Congressman Jim Jordan will come to the forefront. I don't know. It's so complicated that, honestly, Honestly, only God could make something like that happen. That doesn't mean Kevin McCarthy can't win either. I'm not saying this is, we're not talking about the stuff of miracles. We're just talking about that. We're just talking about God agreeing with us that Jim Jordan is the right guy and moving the chess pieces in such a way that he actually gets that speakership. It's not impossible. It's just a lot more moves on the chessboard than I can even imagine. And so we need God's help with that. And that's another reason why this day is so important. These primaries in Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, and Arkansas today are important. We need to elect really fine people. And I know that you guys are taking it seriously. Checking voter guides, afaaction.net, whatever voter guide, your Texas Policy Foundation, Virginia, whatever. Every state pretty much has one of those. Check the voter guides, be proactive, and get the best list of candidates that you can to find out who you should be supporting. And again, it isn't necessarily the person who makes your heart beat fast, but it is probably the better of the one or two or four or whatever number of candidates you have to choose from. Make a good judgment. Make a wise choice. All right. Let's go to James in Texas. Good morning, James.
Hey, Sandy, how are you?
Good. I'm good. Thank you. What's going on?
Just wanted to balance a little bit of what Debbie was saying about the race here in Texas for Poe's position. Kevin Roberts has come by our house, or his representatives have come by our house several times. I've talked with him at length about his position, small government. Second Amendment guy, very, very pro-life. So I just wanted to make sure that, your listeners were getting a good balance. I'm sure they're both great candidates. Yes, there was the question about Kevin pointing out that Crenshaw had sort of said some pretty bad things. I think that's what she was referring to. Had said some pretty bad things about Donald Trump. And, I'm not absolutely sure about that, to tell you the truth. But, and I know that it's a good campaign tactic. I would say, though, that in my case, it's effective in the sense that I'm waiting for Dan Crenshaw to refute that. It's part of my responsibility to look into that myself.
Okay, James, let's listen. This is what they do in campaigns. You know that they'll bring up something that's like really a minor thing in the scheme of things. That's not a huge thing. What you really want to know, I'll tell you what you want to know. If you want to know what I think you ought to know, you need to know who's behind these people. Who's behind Kevin? Look, I'm telling you, every candidate running in Texas is going to tell you they're pro-life, they're for smaller government. They're all going to say that. But what you have to find out, and it doesn't matter that they came by your house or held your baby. That's, what politicians do. Honestly, I don't mean to be unkind. I'm just telling you, this is what they do to get your vote. So what you need to know is, and I don't know, who's behind Kevin Roberts? Is that the leadership in Washington? Because if it is, I wouldn't vote for him. And I think I can't tell you that. I would say there might be a way to find out. Maybe somebody else knows that. And who's behind Crenshaw? Who's supporting? Who are his endorsers? And that'll tell you more about these guys than actually what they say out of their mouth. Although that's important, looking at a person eye to eye and kind of assessing them. But they can fool you. And so that's my advice to you, but I appreciate you bringing that. I don't know. I don't know if it should be Kevin Roberts or this Mr. Crenshaw, but I just would be careful. I would find out who's supporting who. Who are the endorsers of these campaigns? And that'll tell you a lot about who the leadership in Washington wants, because, again, if that's who they want, that's who you don't want. So, James, thanks a lot. Let's go. We got Georgia. Willie in Georgia. Good morning, Willie.
Good morning, Sandy. How you doing? It's William, by the way, but it's okay.
Oh, it got cut off. Okay. It looks like.
No problem.
Okay, William. So what are you seeing in Georgia?
Okay, well, I mean, from my end, you know, the only thing I know right now, because I hadn't even went out to vote yet, is, you know, what you were saying as far as, like, it, from going from strong Republican to, like, leaning Republican. And I think one of the main problems, just from my experience, is that you have a lot of people who, especially from us in the community that has dominantly my color, you know, you have politicians that are actually running for House seat, like, one for, like, House seat. 142 named Frank Austin, and he's done a lot for the local community. And I think he's more of a Democratic type figure. And mainly our mayor in the Macon area, he from what I heard from him, a lot of his views seem to be more segregated, if anything. And I guess that kind of maybe brought people some cold feet, as well as along with what you see on TV as far as people who are Republican who actually have liberal views. So, you know, I think that affects a lot of what's going on. I think it's going to bounce out in the end. I think Dumbly is still going to be a Republican area. But from what I see, I think that's probably the reason why it went from strong Republican to leaner. Just from
William,
what I think.
Let me make sure I understood about this. Frank Austin, you're saying he's black, but he's more of a he's running as a Republican, but he's more of a Democrat. Is that what you said?
No, I'm not for sure if he's I think he's Democratic. I'm not for sure. I'm not for sure which party he is, though, but he's done a lot for the local community as far as, like, rehabilitation of blighted areas. And, you know, more than what we've seen from our local mayor, who is actually Republican.
Okay.
But he seems to actually be concentrating on more on one area than the areas that really needs it the most. So it seems to bring a segregated view.
Yeah. Are you going to vote today, William?
I plan on it. I just want to make sure that I pray about it and make sure that I vote wisely. And no matter, you know, who gets an office, just continue to stay faithful and that God is sovereign.
Yes, exactly. We can't do it without him. Honestly, it's just too complex. But we will do our part and do the best we can. You know, you have a governor's race. I know that's a pretty big deal. And so I don't know, William, the same thing is to see who's endorsing those candidates. And that helps you to know who you should support. Yes. So,
How would I find out if I want to know?
I would go to afaaction.net and look at our voter guide, afaaction.net, because if that race is in there, they'll tell you who's supporting them, where they got their money and their support and all of that. I don't know if the governor's race is in there or not. But also, I'll see if Georgia has a family policy council. That's usually the name for code word for Christian public policy. It would be Georgia. I don't know if there is one, Georgia Family Policy Council. Maybe Adam can look that up for us. But and if he finds out, I'll say it on the air if you'll keep listening. Okay.
Well, I'm gonna still be listening even when I get off with you.
Okay. All right, William. God bless you. And thanks. Good to talk to you. All right. Let's go to Austin in Arkansas. Austin. So, what do you think about what's going on in Arkansas?
Hi, Sandy. I want to comment on the governor's race here in Arkansas.
Okay.
And Governor Asa Hutchinson has done an excellent job for 4 years. And I think a lot of people have jumped on the Jan Morgan train because she's got this kind of Donald Trump-esque aura about her. She's loud and vocal. She's been a very harsh critic of the governor. But I think Arkansans would do well to double down on Governor Hutchinson. I haven't seen much in terms of in-depth policy proposals from Jan Morgan. And maybe that's just because she hasn't been in the political arena, but I think the governor has been committed to conservative principles. He's created jobs. He's been fiscally responsible. And I think that that Arkansans would do well to vote for him again.
Okay, I hear you. Listen, Austin, I can't, honestly, I just can't weigh in on that. I didn't even know anything about Jan Morgan, so I was just looking at her website right now, and again, I would recommend you guys, to you too, that you see who's supporting who, because that will tell you a lot about the people. So, Austin, thanks. I appreciate your insight. Thank you. All right, this is David in Arkansas. Let's see if David agrees. David, what do you think about your races down there?
Well, I agree. I disagree with the other two callers. Having been a former state employee and seeing some of the stuff that's going on, Asa reduced the income tax in Arkansas, but he upped taxes elsewhere, which was more than what the income tax reduction was. And as far as, you know, cutting spending and all that, what he did was he cut out the lower level state employees, got rid of them, and of course you know how politics is. They're all going to hire their buddies for various positions. He didn't get rid of any of the upper level positions. He increased their pay.
Okay, David, we're out of time. But I can hear what you're saying. It has to do with his hiring and firing. All right, I got to come.
Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Iowa lawmakers approved what is now the nation's strictest abortion law in a move that clearly puts a Roe versus Wade challenge on the table. Iowa has now outlawed abortion once the baby's heartbeat is detectable. Doctors can typically detect a baby's heartbeat 6 weeks into a woman's pregnancy, which is why Planned Parenthood of the Heartland has admitted most abortions in Iowa would be illegal under the measure. There's a mounting wave of willingness to protect the most vulnerable among us. Praise be to God.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner. Or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
You seemed so much alike, but then you got married. On the next Focus on the Family, popular blogger Melanie Schenkel shares humorous insights about the joys and challenges of marrying someone who seems to be your opposite and how to appreciate those differences. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Who is God? What is He like? How can we know? Your answer to these questions will impact your worship, discipleship, apologetics, and evangelism. Learn from Ravi Zacharias, Josh McDowell, Chip Ingram, and more than 60 other speakers at Southern Evangelical Seminary's 25th Annual National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 12th and 13th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Get the early bird discount when you register by August 1st at ses.edu.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump meets today with his South Korean counterpart to discuss the planned U.S.-North Korea summit next month. Today's conversation comes amidst harsh rhetoric from the North Koreans and evidence that their enabler, Communist China, is backsliding on its enforcement of sanctions on its client. Mr. Trump's guest will doubtless argue that he must make concessions up front. After all, South Korea's President Moon Jae-in has long advocated appeasement of his neighbor to the north. Fortunately, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo laid out a very different approach yesterday with regard to North Korea's strategic ally, Iran. He made clear that for negotiations to be of value, they must address realistically and comprehensively the threats posed by such regimes. President Trump deserves great credit for adopting this much-needed course correction on Iran. Let's apply a similarly robust approach to our no less dangerous foe, North Korea. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I think that's actually a very disturbing assault on the independence of the Department of Justice. And I think when the president, this president or any president, tries to use the Department of Justice as kind of a a private investigatory body, that's not good for the country.
I think what we're seeing here is the president has just taken his all-out assault on the rule of law to a new level. Mm-hmm. And this time, he is ordering up an investigation of the investigators who are examining his own campaign. You know, that's really shocking.
Yeah, well, she would think so. James Clapper and Sally Yates. Sally Yates and James Clapper are up to their ears in involvement in what happened to President Trump as soon as he was elected, and even before. James Clapper with the Intelligence Committee, and Sally Yates running the Justice Department, defying the president's orders and setting about, you know, cooperating in every way she could to undermine him in every way. So they're pretty alarmed to think that the Inspector General's report might actually be very incriminating for them. Sandy Rios back with you. I want to very quickly, we have three more people on the line in terms of the elections in Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, and Arkansas. And I would ask each of you if you could just make your comments very concise. And I want to go to each of you, and then I have to get on with this. I have to get on, as you know, with some of this news from today. There are a lot of things I want to tell you about. Let me go to Texas and talk to Jeremy. Good morning, Jeremy. I like your name.
Good
That's
morning.
My
How
son's
are you doing?
Name. I'm good. That's my son's name. So
good. I just wanted to speak about the Crenshaw and Roberts debate.
Yes.
We found out that Kevin Roberts, the conservative, supposedly conservative group that's backing him, actually backed Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama, gave thousands of dollars to them in their campaigns. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Just do your research. And that's what we found with that group. So.
Wow. Well, so how about Crenshaw? Why do you support him? What do you like about him?
He's just a strong conservative man. He stands in faith, and that's the way, you know, we do around here where I'm from. So that's who we would like to back.
Jeremy, this is Ted Poe's district. So what part of Texas are you in?
I'm actually from the Conroe cut and shoot area, but I've got friends that are in that area over there where they're voting.
Okay, well, what is that area? What is that area?
How would you describe it? It's in the Kingwood, Texas area.
Okay. All right, well, that helps a little bit. And I appreciate your insight, and that's why we're doing this. Let's go to Leah in Texas. Good morning, Leah.
Hi, I'm in District 8. It is Cody Harris and Thomas McNutt. Those are both Republican up, and they're very, very similar. There's two things that they differed on when abortion is okay. They're both pro-life, but when is abortion okay? Cody Harris did not answer that question. Thomas McNutt said that only if it is continuing the pregnancy would save the life of the mother. That is the only time that it would be an option. And then also when they were asked about their personal beliefs, Cody Harris said that he is a believer, he's a deacon, et cetera. And Thomas McNutt shared the gospel and mentioned being saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's District 8 in Texas.
Okay, Leah, that's good. All right. That's the kind of insight we need. And I appreciate. Thank you so much. Let's go to Rebecca in Arkansas. You have the last word this morning, Rebecca.
Thank you so much, Sandy. We appreciate you. If you follow the money, big moneyed and endorsers and supporters like Walmart, Tyson, J.B. Hunt are supporting Asa. He's the politically correct candidate. Jan is the Jim Jordan
Jan
candidate.
Morgan. Jan
Asa,
Morgan.
Asa is the Kevin McCarthy candidate. You won't get anything. He's raised spending. There was a bill that the legislature passed, and they sent it to his desk that was outlawing Sharia law in Arkansas courts. Dewey left it on his desk. It's still sitting there unsigned. It went into effect without his signature. He Sanctuary City and Sanctuary University bills, he killed. He says, we don't need them. We don't have a problem. And he's raised the budget each time. Taxes, he, you know, as the fella says, he cuts in, he lets them cut in one area, but he raises it in the other. He's fearful of hurting people, you know. He's not. And the NRA gave Jan the A rating. They gave Asa the A minus rating. He gutted a religious liberty bill that was very strong to protect all of us. It now just protects churches.
Okay.
It's been sad. And that's why I took a leave of absence as president of Benton County Republican Women, because I had to speak out, and I couldn't speak out for in the primary. So I've been, it's grassroots support for Jan Morgan. We are passionate across the state because she is a good, born again Christian lady who is trying to downsize government in Arkansas. We're the one of the highest tax states, highest regulated states, and ASA has not helped that at all.
Okay, well, listen, Rebecca, that's a great tutorial, and it's a great testimony, really, of your own faith in her. Do any polls showing anything yet?
Well, there was a KARN poll in the Little Rock area that had Jan up 67 to 33, and there was a in one of the counties there was a poll that had ASA at 70, I mean at Jan at 72 and ASA at 28. We don't know. Arkansas Family Council is a good place to get info, but look on the websites. ASA is politically correct and a kind man without passion. He would not debate Jan because she's been uncovering waste, fraud, and abuse as a television journalist 27 years. And now she's a Fox correspondent. She knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And good people are supporting her, and ones who are just, you know, they've supported ASA all along. They're keeping their support going, but a lot are changing. This lady who heard Jan speak in one of the counties, they had the ASA sign in their yard. As soon as they heard her speak, she and her husband went home and yanked up the ASA sign and put in one for Jan. That's happening all across.
Well, that's interesting, and it's in today's the day. Today is the primary, so... Rebecca, I appreciate your call and giving us a heads up. I see. I had no idea about this race. That's the problem, you know. When you try to, I try to cover, you know, what's happening everywhere. I miss some really big things. So I appreciate you bringing this to our attention. Thank you so much. That's Arkansas Today, the governor's race. All right, now, So you got your marching orders. Those of you now in Kentucky, I don't know what happened to you. We didn't hear from anyone in Kentucky today, but I know there is important. I'm sure there are important races there. Georgia's governor's race is really interesting. Texas and Arkansas. So there you go. But I have other things that I must get to because you know why. There's a lot of news on the Russian collusion front. And of course, I've told you in detail about the now outed, at least one FBI informant outed. And I've described that to you. I'm not going to go into it again. Because of that, because it came out in the New York Times, not his name, but it actually affirmed that there was an FBI informant inside the Trump campaign, or at least trying to pull in three people affiliated with the campaign and sort of mess with them a little bit. So now the president has demanded that there be some sort of an investigation. In fact, this is what he says. This is Sunday night. I hereby demand and will do so officially tomorrow that the Department of Justice look into whether or not the FBI, DOJ infiltrated or surveilled the Trump campaign for political purposes. And if any such demands or requests were made by people within the Obama administration, that's the big thing that's dangling. Of course, we know. And we know by the text between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page that the president at the time, Barack Obama, was deeply involved with everything. In fact, Peter talks to his lover, Lisa Page, in his email, in his texts about that. Happy that the White House is actually involved in this. So we know that the Barack Obama's administration and surely the president himself, I believe Lisa and Peter mentioned POTUS at one point in their texts. Nobody talks about this, but they must. And so in response to that, though, let me mention this. John Brennan, Mr. Former CIA director under President Obama, who voted for the Communist Party candidate for president in 1980 in the United States of America, is all upset about this. And so he responded to the president, as in Trump, saying he wanted someone to investigate this, the Justice Department. This is what John Brennan tweeted. Any man can make mistakes, but only an idiot persists in his error. And that's a quote by Cicero. Very erudite, Mr. John Brennan, but one of my favorite commentators, who calls himself Sundance, is obviously with the intelligence community, says, interesting choice, because this is what also Marcus Tullius Cicero wrote. A nation can survive its fools, and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves among us within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. Marcus Tullius Cicero, the same man who wrote the quote that John Brennan tweeted, any man can make mistakes, but only an idiot persists in his error. So I just thought that was worth mentioning. Very ironic. All right, so I want you to know this. This is important. Gosh, I have to kind of consolidate what I wanted to tell you. I can tell you right now that I wanted a specific article that is not showing itself. All right, I'll just have to tell you off the top of my head. General Sessions has already, we in the works, we believe that the Inspector General was assigned investigate the motives of the FBI and the deep state. They didn't call it deep state, but the FBI, CIA, other operatives, that was already in place, and yet we didn't know about it because, you see, the Attorney General is very quiet about these things. But he came out with a statement, just a very, not a public statement, because he's being very quiet right now. But we know that the Inspector General now is officially investigating what the president has asked for. But again, I don't think this is a new investigation. I think it has been underway. And I also wanted to share with you, here we go. This is what I was looking for. You know, there's a lot of criticism of General Sessions. And I have to say, you know, I wish he had never recused himself. That was a huge disappointment. I wish he would be more vocal, but he isn't. But this is true. Judge Jeanine has, CNN, I listened yesterday, they played her commentary on that she made on Fox, I think, Sunday night, over and over and over again, because she said Jeff Sessions is the most dangerous man in America. I love Judge Jeanine. Love her. I just love her. But on this, my sources tell me that she has long had animus toward General Sessions for whatever reason. And also, I have to tell you that General Sessions, Jeff Sessions, is still kind of operating on his own at the Justice Department. One of the reasons is because Cory Gardner, that smiling, beautiful-haired senator from Colorado, is holding up the top positions at DOJ over a marijuana issue that he has with General Sessions. So General Sessions is pretty much plugging away, trying to operate that department of thousands, with them being an all-out rebellion against him. And General Sessions is doing a lot that you just don't know about. You just don't know about it. He is fighting not only without, but he's fighting within. And so just stay tuned. I think he's probably doing some very good, thorough things that we're going to be hearing about soon. All right, that's all I have time to tell you today. But maybe tomorrow we'll get into more detail. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.